B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two. It's a Big Boy Tuesday here on Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. You read Greg Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal and give it a subscription. He was very critical of Tom Brady and the Buccaneers for signing Antonio Brown over the weekend. Why don't you give us some of those thoughts, Greg? Do you still feel that way? Have you calmed down, or you still think it's a disgrace?
It's a disgrace. It's disgusting. That guy has no business in the league, and certainly the Bucs shouldn't be interested in it. I mean, if the Raiders or some other crap bag team wants to sign him, like, I just have a problem with, you know, it's the double speak from Brady. Brady want, look, I have all the respect in the world for Tom, and I do think he is as nice a guy that he portrays to the public, but you can't sell us on being Mr. Family Guy and Mr. All-American and makes all the right decision and keep linking yourself, by the way, in the midst of all this, that it was all the sexual assault allegations, Brady's all pissed off because the Patriots got rid of him. In the offseason, he's asking the Bucs for him. Now he's doing it again. It's gross. Tom Brady should not be associating himself with this kind of dirtbag.
I mean, what it really tells us more than anything is how, you know, contentious the relationship with Belichick is. He wants to stick it to Bill so bad, he will play with Antonio Brown. That's how, and I know he wanted him here too, but I think given all that happened, he still won, and he won. He won. Arians wanted nothing to do with this guy. And Brady won. He's completely taken over that organization.
So Brady's desperate to stick it to Bill and win. And you pointed that out in your column too, Greg. My answer to that is, so what? Like, good. I'm glad. I wish Bill and the Patriots and the Crafts were as obsessed as Brady is to stick it to him as Brady is desperate to stick it to them. That's what I thought we were getting, a back and forth. Not a team that spent no money, has all this cap room, you know, at the bottom of the league in real cash spent, like, you know, roster-wise, kind of conceding. And that, you know, especially at the quarterback position. They picked their quarterback based on who took the cheapest contract. Like, that
Felger,
is...
That's a different argument.
Well, no, it's
that's
not.
A different argument. In terms of, yes, it is. It's different than the one I'm making. I could tell you that because I don't care what they do. They can go arm themselves with anybody. I'm talking about this specific dirtbag, Antonio Brown, who does not be... Who was on three different teams in the span of a year, sexual assault allegations up the wazoo, taping himself on social media, disparaging the police who were just there to do their duty. Like, no, I'm not talking about, they can go get whoever they want. They can trade their whole team. They can add all sorts of payroll. I don't care. I'm talking about this specific dirtbag.
Okay, no, I'm with you on that. I'm no fan of this specific dirtbag. I mean, you know, no, I mean, I agree on that, obviously, but in your column, and I'm pulling it up right now, I mean, you're very derisive of Brady because, you know, here it is. The whiff of Brady's desperation to win a title away from Belichick is so strong it could knock you over. So, yep. I mean,
about
I don't consider...
This guy, Felger, not in general. He can go do what I... Yeah, I want him. If he wants to stick it to Bill, good. If he wants to call, you know, Marshawn Lynch up and get him out of retirement, I don't care. Like, they got the running back, Fournette. Great. They want to go sign. They want to go trade. Fine. I'm talking about Antonio Brown, that he keeps linking himself and brings him to Tampa with him and all that entails. Like, it's just gross. That's what I'm talking about. This specific guy.
Yeah,
that's it.
There's a certain level of dirtbag you don't want to associate with, and that's what Antonio Brown is. He's bad for business, and it shows that, you know, Brady's moral compass is off. It's broken. Look, I want him to stick it to Bill, but I don't want him associated with Antonio Brown. I didn't want him here last year. I don't want him in Tampa this year.
Okay, all fine. In your column, you don't really – I mean, it is a column ripping Brady and Brown, but – it's not really clear in those specific paragraphs. It feels to me like you are just on Brady for being so desperate. The need for him to stick it to the Patriots and Belichick is so desperate and so pathetic that it's worth your derision. And I don't, that is not something I deride Brady for. That's what I expected. That's what I want from him. It's what I want from the Patriots too. And I'm pissed I'm not getting that from the Patriots. And so, like, that's...
It's just Brown. That's all I care about. I don't care which way it reads. I'm telling you right now. It's just about Brown. I didn't say anything about Fournette. I didn't say about anything, any other guy they might add. And I'm sure they will add people at the trade deadline. I'm talking specifically about Brown. It's gross. It was, like, look, I can understand the Patriots and Brady, they could at least feign some ignorance about Brown last year. All right. All we knew at the time was that he was a pain in the ass to the Raiders. Big whoop-de-doo. I mean, a lot of people are a pain in the ass to the Raiders. But then he comes here. He's under multiple sexual assault allegations come out. The Patriots play him even after they come out. Then they release him, and Brady's still pining for him every single day since then. That's what I have an issue with.
Greg, I bet you he's living in Brady's house again.
He should. Hey, if Tom believes in Antonio Brown so much, he should be arm in arm with him out in public. He should move him into the house. We should get a reality show, whatever. He wants to be with Antonio Brown, be with Antonio Brown.
I do. I think he's living in his house again. I think that either that or Brady hired someone to keep an eye on him. I'm not joking.
Well, good luck with
that. He hired a professional babysitter to follow him around. He has to.
Well, again, just to reset, the Antonio Brown thing is pathetic and reflects poorly on Brady. His desperation to stick it to Belichick and the Patriots, I have no problem with. Back to your phones on everything. Stan in Medfield. Go ahead, Stan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, this offense is a big bag pile of suck right now. I pretty much think that just Cam Newton, they might as well just sit him and start Stidham for the rest of the season.
What do you think? I'm just going to stop you there, Stan. What do you think about that, Greg? Who should be the quarterback on Sunday?
Not Jared Stidham, that's for sure. I mean, look, I thought Joe Murray did it in the postgame, had a good idea. Brian Hoyer between the 20s and bring Newton in for the red zone. I think I'm all for that. I'm not too far away from that. Let me just say that.
Seriously.
But look, you know, they have to find a way to get Cam back on track. He has been wayward. It started in the Raiders game. There were multiple plays, especially on third downs. If people go back and look at it, go back and read what I wrote at the time, where I note this player was open. He didn't throw. He threw late to Burkhead in the flat. Like this play, just for this play, for example, this could have been from either of the last two games where I said, never saw a completely uncovered Harry underneath and wound up throwing late to Burkhead in the flat. That's every game the past 2 weeks. So this is not new, but they have to find a way. They have to figure out why this happened, why he got wayward, how do they get him back.
Here's Jacob in New Hampshire. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, it's times like these where I miss Carlton and Norwell because there's a new galloping pick chicken in town. His name is Jared Stidham. And, Greg, I don't know if you noticed this from Next Gen Stats, but if you look at it, all his passes for Cam Newton, is they're all to the left. And it's so weird. He, like, never wants to throw to the right. I don't know if you noticed that or know what that is.
Yeah, this has been brought up. Greg, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I had it in my breakdown after last week's game because I always looked at those sort of spray charts after every game, and it was the week before also. I don't know what that is. You know, I really don't. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, Damir Bird is mostly on the left a lot and he has a lot of confidence in him. It does not work well for Julian Edelman, who for some reason is, you know, mostly on the right. And also, I don't think the lack of a tight end is really helping the situation. I mean, I just think it's a lack of options and also where Cam has confidence. And right now he has confidence going to the left. They need to figure something out because they need to break that tendency.
Greg, does it have anything to do with the sequence of the progressions? In other words, you know, do they run one way or the other more frequently in the Patriots offense?
Well,
and is it all an indication that, you know, by the time he gets to, you know, he starts out on the right and he's slow and he's so far behind that he ends up throwing, you know what I mean? I'm asking.
Well, now that you bring it up, I mean, I don't know. I don't track the Patriots offense like that. But what we could be seeing is McDaniels could have decided in the wake of the Raiders game and also with him being off for 3 weeks that he decided to make more half field reads for Cam to make things a little bit easier, a little bit more paint by numbers for him. And it has not worked out how they have hoped.
We've got we got George and Peabody. Go ahead, George.
All right, gentlemen, how are you this afternoon? Does Robert have the power to fire Bill Belichick as general manager?
Okay, George, we get this a lot. Does Kraft have to fire Bill, the GM, take away the GM powers? If you take away the GM powers, he's gone. So, like, and he's...
Yeah, it's not happening.
And he's not, you know, he's had a bad run of it. Believe me, I'm with you on that. He's had a bad run of it. Would you really rather bring in another GM to make the calls? Doesn't the next guy scare you? As bad as Bill's been the last couple of years, GM-wise, if they turn it over to someone else, wouldn't that scare the crap out of you?
Yes.
So I'm not...
Well, I will say this, Felger. I think we've talked about this before, that there's a belief around the team that Caserio has not been as strong of another voice to Belichick, a counter to Belichick as, say, maybe like Scott Pioli was in the early days, and that has been an issue because I think Bill, the more you talk to people, the team will have a certain plan, especially, say, with the draft. And they might say there's no way the Patriots went into this draft and said, all right, well, you know, our first three picks need to be on defense. I don't think that was happening. That was before the opt-outs, if I recall. And yeah, because I remember when Kyle Duggar was drafted, I was like, well, it's great and he has potential, but when's he going to play? Because Patrick Chung's here, as far as I know. And I think Belichick defaults a lot with defense because it's comfortable for him. And you get that with a lot of coaches who come from one side of the ball to the other. And I just don't think Caserio's a strong enough voice to speak up and say, hey, Bill, you know, let's get back to our plan. We said that we needed to add a tight end in the first two rounds. Why are we in it? We need to take a tight end here. I don't think there's that voice in the building anymore.
Has it always been that way with Caserio, Greg, or has it gotten that way?
It's always been that way.
Okay. Okay, we got 10 questions with the big boy. Our computers are down, so do we not have buzzers, Jimmy?
Well, hopefully they work. We'll see.
Okay, so maybe we've just rebooted. Hopefully we'll have buzzers. If not, we're still going to do 10 questions next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes, got to stay on time. I think the computer's back up. What are our options, Jimmy?
So this will be a more archival week.
Okay.
You guys are in deep, deep trouble with the galloping pick check.
Oh, there he is. I miss him.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
Very good. I like the guy. Guy in Boston.
Tommy, Tom.
Big Jim Gray.
The whole hood wants after him.
The Havitron toasted focaccia? Havitron.
You mentioned Sony Michel. He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
All-timer. Next.
How big is this kid, Michel? How big is he? He's not that big, is he?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
I swallowed the C.
Yeah, yep. That's, well, better than
last one. Swallowing
the D.
Favorite.
Go ahead, yeah. And if Calgary's going to pay him $7, $8 million a year... What, Murray? What?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
He was not.
Brown check mark.
That's one of the great ones.
Foiled again. All right, hit it, Jimmy.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
This is true, but I'm going to ask him anyway, guy. Number 10, will Mike McCarthy make it to year two in Dallas?
Yes, Jerry Jones will not admit a mistake this early.
Yeah, he'll make it. I mean, nobody gets fired halfway through a first season. Almost never happens.
Does he get fired after the year?
This year, no.
Yeah, so I mean, no, but no, my question was, does he make it to year two? So he can get fired in the offseason.
Yeah,
what I'm
no,
saying.
No, no. I mean, what I meant to say is very rarely you see a guy get fired after 1 year.
So
very, very rarely.
I don't think he should. I think he should lose his job because he obviously has no control there. They don't respect him. Nobody coming to Andy Dalton's defense when he got cheap shotted the other day. That kind of ballistness, I think, starts at the top, and he should be one and done if it's going to keep going that way.
You know who's going to go first as the defensive coordinator? Mike Nolan's toast.
But Greg's right. They fire him after 1 year. It's an admission on Jones himself, and he's not yep. going to swallow that. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You guys are in deep, deep trouble with the galloping pick chicken.
All right, number nine, if it's not McCarthy, who should be the next coach in Dallas?
Rex Ryan.
Oh.
The epic disaster.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, no, so you know who I was going to say. I mean, take a guess.
Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's why I didn't.
It's a default answer.
Yeah, it is. Dabo Swinney. He's had good quarterbacks at Clemson. Like, you know, I go Swinney.
Their defense sucks. I say Robert Saleh, the Hardo D coordinator with the Niners. He's young. He's tough. He'll help. It's been a disaster for that team for a while.
Okay, you need someone big. You need someone more than just a coordinator. Murray is, you know, Saleh's going to get a job. But, you know, that's all Mike McCarthy is a glorified coordinator. You need someone big with a little sway who can push Jerry Jones back a little bit. That's why Harbaugh, maybe Sweeney, he wouldn't take the job unless he had, you know, some room. I'd say just get over with and do Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton's been rumored there for years
Good
and years
one.
And years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Sean Payton wouldn't take all of Jones's crap. He'd have to take some. It's the boss. But he would come in and he would have some autonomy. I mean, that's what Dallas needs. They need someone to get the Joneses out of there just a little bit. Next one.
They need Bill Belichick.
Oh, I swallowed the C.
That's a great one, Jimmy.
Absolutely, that's a great one.
They need Bill Belichick.
Oh, that'd be good.
Thank you.
I swallowed the C.
Okay, thank you. Number eight, what team should Trevor Lawrence be rooting for to end up with the number one pick, big boy?
The Vikings. I think the stadium, the fans, I think it's a better situation than a lot of them. I think they can rebuild quickly, and the division stinks.
It'll never happen. The Pats! He should want to play for Belichick. That'd be perfect. If they're going to suck, you go suck big. Like, let's really suck. Trevor Lawrence, play for Belichick. That's perfect.
Yeah, but you got to be realistic. So Atlanta, he's from Georgia. He's a Bible thumper. They play in a dome. Nobody really cares down there, so the pressure isn't what it would be in, like, New York. Atlanta.
Next.
How big is this kid, Michelle? How big is he? Not that big, is he?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Number seven. What's your favorite TV commercial airing during NFL games right now, Greg?
I really haven't seen any. I don't watch many NFL commercials, but my kids like the Watt Subway commercial with the Subway in the backyard.
I'm with Greg. I couldn't tell you one commercial that airs during the games. I think this question sucked.
I'm going to go with the question yep. one commercial.
Why didn't you tell me this? Why don't you email back and say we don't want to answer this?
It was better on the air.
I like it. I like the question one commercial where the Russian hackers take over the mom's car and then they crash the car because it's supposed to scare you. But I find it unintentionally hilarious. I laugh every time.
I don't even know what that is.
Me neither.
I've never seen that.
This is my point.
I think, is it Progressive Insurance where don't turn into your father, don't turn into your mother? I think those are clever.
Yeah, they're okay.
And I pretty much laugh every time.
Yeah, but I already did turn into my father
and
mother.
Just a clever little spot because they hit home. I think that's a nice, clever little spot. Well, if you don't like that one, you're not going to like this one either. Go ahead.
Tommy, Tom.
What's the worst commercial airing during NFL games, Greg?
Any political ad.
It's not bad. It's good.
I can actually give you one here.
Go ahead.
That stupid Doritos commercial with Marshawn Lynch and Brady and Gronk and, you know, well, 'twas the night before the season started. Yeah, that's a stupid commercial. I hate that thing.
I hate Limu Emu and Doug. I forget what insurance company that is, but I hate the Limu Emu and Doug commercials.
All right, next.
I like the Belichick.
The whole hood wants after him.
So hold on. Now Bedard chirps in. What?
I just said I like the Belichick Subway commercials.
Oh, that's so lame. There's nothing there.
Yeah, now you look better.
You know, but way to be on top of it, Greg. Hit it again. The Havitron goes to Focaccia. Okay, I don't think it's Havitron. It's Havarti on, but either way. Number five, tool bag question. Is the Bills Mafia? Are they a bunch of tool bags? Or just good blue-collar fans who are a little goofy?
Oh, they're humongous tool bags.
Tools.
Like, the biggest in the league. I mean, look at the guy who called a couple weeks ago and was mad at me and called me a gym, that said that I look like a gym teacher because I don't like Josh Allen. Big whoop-de-doo.
I love them. I think they're everything a football fan should be. They're loud. They're obnoxious. They're overly sexual. They're ready to break their own bones for a laugh. I love them.
Tools. Socket wrenches, if you ask me. Complete tool bags. Absolute collection of socket wrenches, if you ask me.
But Murray, he does hit on a good point. I mean, the whole sex toy thing coming out of the crowd, that's pretty special. And that's uniquely them. Good. I mean, that doesn't exist anywhere else.
I'll give you the Buffalo Bildos.
I mean, we do have to tip our cap to that.
Yeah, no.
Because that was
pretty good.
A lot of looking for keys in that parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, is that right, Murray?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's videos.
Well, goody.
Well, that's why they had them on hand then. Either way, that is uniquely Buffalo. Next.
You mentioned Sony Michelle. He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
That's just what a take. Number four, name the NFL teams, plural, that will never win as long as they have their current owner. And does this team even exist, Greg?
I have seven of them.
Oh, so my God. Go ahead.
I have the Cardinals and Bidwell. I have the Bengals and the Browns, the Brown family. Haslam with the Browns. Jerry Jones, as long as he keeps sticking his nose in and doing radio interviews,
yep,
it's never going to happen. The Ford family. Woody Johnson and Dan Snyder.
Maz?
Jets, Bengals, Washington. Those three are the big ones. Those three are horrible ownership. At least on some of the other ones I could look at and say, Jerry Jones's heart's in the right place. He wants to win.
But
some of the others I doubt.
But he's a meddling dope. Washington, Dallas, Cincinnati, Chargers, Cleveland, Raiders, Lions, Jets. There's eight from me.
Okay, so all your lists are too long. Because, look, they're all horrible owners. I mean, the Fords have owned the team for centuries. I mean,
I love when they pander to the old lady.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to give them Werther's originals once we win.
Okay, but look, even the Cards, even the Bengals went to two. I mean, if they had a good day, they would have won. So, like, the way I look at this question is, if you stumble into the right quarterback or you stumble into the right coach and they get hot and they win, is the owner going to get in the way? And I'm sorry, the Browns are not going to get in the way. They're never going to spend. But if Joe Burrow is Peyton freaking Manning, they're ultimately going to win one. And I'd say the same thing about I'd say the same thing about the Cards.
No.
I'd say the same thing about, to me, it's the owner that if you stumble into the right quarterback and you stumble into a great team, will you blow it up?
Yep.
To me, Snyder's the only guy.
Jets? You don't think the Jets would screw it up?
I think they're horrible, horrible owners. But, I mean, the Jets went to two straight AFC championship games in a row. They should have won one of them. And so, like, no, if they stumble into it, Woody is not going to get in the way of it. There's only one or two guys who will get in the way of it, and that's Snyder for sure and Jones. And that's the way that I look at it. All right, next. And if Calgary's going to pay him $7, $8 million a year, what, Murray, what?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
Not Drager. Dreger was spelled D-R-G-G-R.
It was just Dreger.
Yeah. If you could take one defensive player across the league, take anyone you want, Greg, and put him on the Patriots, who would you take?
Colts linebacker Darius Leonard, who they could have had instead of Sony Michel in that draft.
Oh, that's a good one. I actually had two names here. One's Aaron Donald. Well, the other's Levante David. Give me someone in the front seven that can make a difference. Either one of those guys, linebacker, defensive lineman, somebody that makes a difference.
Aaron Donald, a force, plays mean, virtually unblockable. I think he's the best player in the NFL.
So I've seen teams take him out, though. You took him out in the Super Bowl. You double-team one of those guys, no matter how good. So I don't know if I thought, is Micah Fitzpatrick a reasonable, is he good enough for me to want that?
Like, well, good player, yeah.
I mean, I want that playmaking safety. I mean, I want that guy, you know, versus a defensive lineman. So anyway, next.
You guys are in deep, deep trouble with the galloping pick chicken.
Number two, who is your favorite young quarterback in the league right now, Greg?
Kyler Murray. I love watching the kid play. He's dynamic running with the ball. He throws dimes. Like he can get so much better. I just think he's awesome.
Joe Burrow. I loved him at LSU. I love him now. That kid can play. He's going to be good. He's a change in the league.
Is young defined by 25 and under? Then it's Patrick Mahomes still for me. He's 25, and so...
Okay, give me younger than him.
Oh, I'm with Greg then, Kyler Murray. I think he's a blast to watch. A little short, but yeah, that kid's got balls.
Okay, it's like a video game.
I mean, I picked him for my preseason MVP. I don't think he's going to get it, and he is too short. He's too short. So he better be Russell Wilson, and I don't think he's Russell Wilson throwing the ball. He's faster. I think Justin Herbert deserves consideration in this conversation. Next.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
I would agree, guy. Number one, last one. Who's the most overrated quarterback, young or old, in the league right now? Most overrated QB?
Josh Allen. Hey, look, he's fine. He's improved, but he has a ceiling because he's a turnover waiting to happen.
Oh, Greg loves to stick it to the Buffalo people, doesn't he?
Here comes the sex toy.
Drew Brees. I have felt this way for a while. Drew Brees.
Lamar Jackson, win a playoff game if you really want me to take you seriously.
Nice. I go Brees or Rodgers right there, even though Rodgers statistically is having a good year. If you really watch him, Greg, I don't know if you have. He's still throwing off his back foot. He's not stepping into anything. He's just slinging it all over the place. And someone disrupts his rhythm or gets in his head, it's over. And I think that's what Tampa did, and that's what happened there. So it's Brees 1, Rodgers 2, most overrated in the league. Thus concludes 10 questions. Update from Murray, right back with the big boy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Here's Joseph in Saugus. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. So, Cam Newton today. I'm pretty much sick of this guy. I mean, he's not fast left to right. I don't know what's going on here. Honestly, I think we got to bring in somebody else. Player that comes to mind is Nathan Peterman. I mean, honestly.
Okay, I'm just going to let you go. I don't think you're a serious caller. Greg, give me your thoughts on Stidham.
He's not good.
Do you think he's like toast? You know, I mean, have you given up on him?
No, but I need to see. He needs a full offseason of work, preseason, stuff like that. He is definitely never being handed the starting job until he proves it. I mean, look, this is a guy who I think in 21 passes?
28 four
passes. He's thrown, yeah, but there was a 28th that was called back for penalty, and he threw an interception on that. So 28 passes, 5 interceptions, because it was a terrible pass.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't a penalty on that play. But anyways, he's so bad that his interception rate, throwing an interception in 10 pass attempts on Sunday, his interception rate went down from Sunday.
So
how bad he is.
So, Greg, I was just going to say, the fact that Bill was so deliberate about when he took Newton out, because Zolak was calling for it at halftime. A lot of people were, myself included. The fact that Bill put that off, is that a reflection of how he feels about Stidham right now?
Yes, it was a reflection of Bill wasn't trying to win the game. If he thought he had a viable option at backup to win the game, he would have gone with him at halftime. I agreed with what Bill did. I thought that you go off of halftime, the first drive, first couple drives of halftime, see what happens, see if you can regroup at halftime, get anything going. And I do think that there was, yes, they were deliberate on offense, but like I said, I thought there was some promising play there. They actually strung successful plays together, which is, for this group, has been highly unusual for the past 2 weeks. So there was something to build off of there, and you got something not for that game, because look, I think Bill realized Shanahan had his number. He was not stopping that 49ers offense at all in that game. And so he just was looking to the next week. And the work that they got in the third quarter, I thought was important and needed if they had a chance to win at Buffalo.
Chad in Florida, you're up next with Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, listen, I think there's nothing wrong with Cam Newton. If you look at his career, he's at best a .500 quarterback. I just think he is Cam Newton. We got what we advertised.
Okay, not this bad, Chad. Come on.
No, I was going to say, I'd take a 500 quarterback right now.
Come on.
This guy's like looks like he has never played the position.
So, I mean, be fair about that. He's playing below his standards. However, the whole thing about seeing the field, reading a defense, getting rid of the ball, you know, I don't know if he is that guy.
Was like, never his strength.
Okay, so like that is sort of fair to say. Was he ever a system fit here, and have you bent your system enough to him? Like, I think we're back to that question we asked in the preseason.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I just look at it on the field and say that for the kind of, and you tell me, Greg, but the kind of reads that typically need to be made in this offense, I just seriously question whether he can do it and whether he's a fit. Go ahead.
I mean, just like we've talked about before, I mean, this offense is completely able to be tailored to whatever style of quarterback you want. And the plays are there. And look, I would agree with you guys as far as Newton's career and what his strengths and weaknesses are and whether he would be a good fit. But the first half of 2018 was with North Turner was an outlier. Like, he was really good. It was a very similar scheme. Look, I think it would also be better and would help Newton. We've talked about it before. If he had a tight end, like he throws to the tight end a lot and they get nothing out of the tight end. I mean, Izzo was so bad blocking on Sunday. I'd be surprised if he gets back in there anytime soon. That I think that's also not helping Newton. If you want to help a quarterback, you go and get the type of receivers that would help him. A tight end, Edelman can't push off his right leg for whatever reason. Put Olszewski out there. Play the kids. I don't know. Something, but it's not the system. I'm telling you, it's not. The plays are there to be made. They are basic plays, and he's not making them.
Brandon in Boston, quickly.
Hey, how you guys going out? You guys are talking, if I could be really quick. So, good quarterback, I mean, a good coach for Dallas would be John Fox. He's a champion for AFC and NFC, but back to Cam Newton. He doesn't fit this offense at all. I think you should make a trade with Washington and reunite him with Ron Rivera, and you get Alex Smith here. Trade Edelman because he's dead weight. A good trade for Edelman would be Cole Beasley. He's a good spark.
Let me just stop you. If Washington would give me Alex Smith for Cam Newton, I would do it yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I don't know. This is maybe the Pats don't want to pay him. You know, I don't know what Alex Smith is making this year. I think the money is a very important factor for New England this year for whatever reason. So if Alex Smith is making a lot of money, forget that. But this thing that, you know, why would anyone take on Cam Newton after what he's put on film the last 3 weeks?
The only logical explanation would be because he's cheap. And why let him? No, I'm seriously. Not joking.
Yeah, no, it's
that, right. That, you know, if you let him hit the market, someone will scoop him up, which is versus if you give up a 6-round pick, you're paying minimum anyway. So I'll prevent him from going somewhere else. But really, why even do that? He stinks or has stunk, okay? He has stunk. And so, Greg, I'm just worried about I am now worried about whether it can get better. And look, can it get marginally better? Sure, yeah. I have a hard time believing anybody could play as badly as he's played basically 2 weeks in a row. But I just don't see any sort of significant improvement coming. I think it's a major, major problem.
Meanwhile, guy in Boston. Oh, go ahead,
we'll
Greg.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Look, there's no question the team bottomed out. Cam Newton bottomed out in that first half. Now we'll see. I think he's fully capable of improving and playing winning football. I mean, they have to win this game in Buffalo. If they do that, then it's game on for the division. The division race goes down to week 16 against the Bills, and we'll see on Cam Newton. He'll have time and a lot more practices. And by the way, Alex Smith's cap number this year is 20 million. He makes $16 million.
Because I was going to say, they're not responsible for the cap number, but the base salary they are. If they trade
16.
For him, okay, 16. So with half a year left, it's 8. I still don't know if they're willing
to spend. He makes 19 next year.
Okay, but not guaranteed. My guess is it's not guaranteed. I don't know. I'm not even looking at it. But my guess is it's a money thing.
Oh, no shot they do it for $8 million.
No way.
No way.
Meanwhile, a guy in Boston all over Greg, but we played you the buzzer. Right?
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
Man, a guy in Boston, what's your problem? What's your problem?
Yeah, what's
Greg,
your problem, guy?
Greg, I'm going to help you with the three up and three down. Forget the three up. I'm going to give you four down. Offense, defense, special teams, and coaching. And Maz, I didn't realize you were that sensitive about Jimmy G. Thank you.
What was
Wait, he left?
Yeah.
It's,
left
in and out. Right?
I wanted to, but he calls up and he always says like I was the biggest Eric Rowe fan or something. Like that's why he says I don't know anything, because I said something nice about Eric Rowe once. Like, guy needs to shut up.
No, one of the things I like about Guy, he doesn't engage in a back and forth. And
no,
he's very polite.
That's right. Landline, get in, get out, punchline, see you later.
Why am I sensitive about Jimmy G? I'm not sensitive about him.
Guy in Boston doesn't know what he's talking about. Thank you.
Long commercial free segment is next.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
While I'm a steamroller, babe, I'm bound to roll all over you.
Sneak from Brady, and he'll power it home for the touchdown.
There's just never been anybody better at this.
Red zone chance, looking for Gronk, and he's got it for a touchdown.
I mean, that's a dime.
Deep shot to the end zone for Miller, and it is caught for a touchdown.
You want to talk about breadbasket right there. I mean, you're throwing it into a five-gallon bucket. Here you go.
Brady looking for Godwin. And it is Holden for the touchdown.
Well, I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn of burning funk.
Brady, back in the end zone for Tyler Johnson, and he hauls it in for a touchdown. That puts Tom Brady into the number one spot all time in NFL history in touchdown passes as he finds Johnson, the rookie.
Go ahead, let her rip, Tom. Beautiful throw.
Well, I'm a demolition derby. A hefty hunk of steam and junk. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Our very own Tony Maserati put that together, actually. Why did you want to pay homage to Tom Brady, Mass?
I just think that right now that's what he looks like. I said this yesterday and sort of triggered the thought. They look like a steamroller right now. Those last two games, and Brady in particular, I just thought on Sunday.
Oh, God.
What? I'm not allowed to say that Brady looked great on Sunday?
Go ahead.
What's wrong with that, Greg?
Yeah, he's a steamroller. Yeah, he's awesome. Tom Brady's the best ever. I don't care where he's playing.
You done?
Go ahead.
You done, big boy? Why don't you take a bite out of your cheeseburger here for a second, okay? The
Oh, yeah, that's real mature, Mass. A good comeback. You've got to come back with a fat joke.
It was a cheap shot.
Listen up for the Duncan Reed, 4:30, Greg.
It was a cheap shot, I admit that. The ball he threw to Godwin in the end zone was a freaking laser. It was a laser. And even the last one, that's the thing that is most striking to me, is just the arm strength and the zip on the ball. It feels to me like they are starting to round into form and they're getting it. And so this is the part that I just feel like there was a clear fork in the road this past week. There was a chance for the Patriots to sort of get back in the game, and it went the other way. And right now it's Brady 5, Belichick 2.
Okay, meanwhile, in the last couple minutes we have here with Bedard, item number one, he wrote in his email chain to us this morning that this is a get-well game for the Patriots, and then he let off the show by denying it, like which I don't get. But, you know, you tell me, is this a get-well game for the Patriots, and if so, why, or is it not?
Yes, if they get their act together and actually look like a team in the National Football League and not Foxborough High School, then yes, it could be a get-well game because the Bills can't defend the run. This is a scheme that is very familiar to the Patriots and also Cam Newton, the Bills' defensive scheme, because Sean McDermott was in Carolina for 6 years. This is a very familiar opponent. The Bills can't beat the Patriots, even with Tom Brady played one of his worst games of last season up at Buffalo, and Buffalo still couldn't beat the Patriots. And so, yeah, this could be a get-well game for them if they can actually walk and chew gum at the same time.
Okay, so I said it before. I love to rip on the Bills if they lose this game. Talk about on a silver platter. You've been gunning for this team, this Patriots team, for 20 years. Now Brady's gone, and they have no quarterback, and they're reeling. They're 2.5 games behind you. They have no quarterback play. Looks like the team is kind of giving up a little bit here these last couple of weeks. You've got to go to Buffalo. It's all there for them. And would anyone be surprised if the Bills just weren't ready for the moment?
No.
And, oh, do I look forward to that if that's the case. I really do. Let's wrap it up with the email of the day for Greg Bedard. Go ahead there, Jimmy.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Maz is a boo.
I don't like Bedard either.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email today is protected by Mimecast, the number one cloud email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Safeguard your organization against phishing and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast, that's M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Relentless protection, resilient world. Flo writes in to Felger at 985thesportshub, which you just heard right there. Subject line, big boys, Felger lies on whiteboard. Mike says, does it say Felger lies half erased on Greg's whiteboard behind him on the Zoom call? Take care, signed Matt. So it definitely says Felger lies on the whiteboard over your right shoulder. I did notice it early in the show. I couldn't see what the second word said. I thought it was a time. I thought it might have said Felger like 145 or something like that.
No,
it says Felger lies. So what's that about, Greg? Because you actually went back there
having and some fun.
You actually went back there and you actually wrote it in a little stronger to make sure it actually said lies. And because when you first wrote it, it was hard to tell what that second word was. But you went back and made sure that it was spelled out. So is there anything behind that? How do I lie?
Well, first of all, you distort everything that I do, especially in the final word. You guys love to distort what I say and my opinions, and especially my performance in the 10 questions, gets completely construed. So I don't know. I do have a whiteboard back there. I figure now on a weekly basis, I'm going to put a little message there, like Charlotte's Web type of thing. So I started it off with Felger lies, and also the Rutgers over Michigan State score.
First of all, I love the fact that he has a whiteboard in his office.
I actually love that. We have chalkboards at home for the chalk walls for the kids, for the girls. But I'd much prefer the whiteboard thing. That's a great little thing.
No, it is. And I see my eyes are worse than yours. I thought it said Felger's limp.
Well, lies, I do take offense to lies. You can say a lot of things about me. I suck, I'm wrong, I troll, whatever. But I don't lie. I don't lie or make things up. Felger distorts.
Hey, sometimes you misconstrue.
Well, distort, I'll take.
No, distort's fair.
No, distort's
That's
fair.
Lies. In other words, you lie. You lie. You
distorting
lie.
Is fair.
Distorting the facts since 2009.
I'll accept distort. I don't lie or make it up. But either way, big boy, it's
okay, I'll change that. That'll be next week.
Yeah, whatever. It's always a pleasure, man. Take it easy.
Hey, Greg,
always
be well.
See you guys.
Bye. Hi, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Channel. Give him a subscription. Yes, what?
I just want to say one thing quickly because I know that he talked about the Bills and this being the get-well week, and I'm serious. It's a good matchup for the Patriots because both of these teams should be able to run on Sunday, and that'll slow the game down and give them a chance.
Yeah, we'll keep the score down.
Absolutely. Yeah, because neither team can stop the run.
We frankly said that last week, too. San Fran wants to run, and they ran their way to 33
points. Yeah, but they can stop the run, right? They can stop the run. And I think the Patriots went into it with designs on throwing the ball a little bit more, and it obviously blew up in their faces. This game, I think you're going to see both teams run a lot.
No. This, to me, is when I jump off or, you know, these are the friendly confines, the nice, soft landing of the crap bag AFC East. This is the Bills, who are never big enough for the moment. It's all there in front of them. And, you know, what am I going to get out of the Bills? And if the Pats look the same way against this outfit, then, you know, then it's time to jump ship. but not until then. So we will talk about this the rest of the day. I do want to give you a quick Celtics minute. I do want to give you a quick Celtics minute coming up because there is a significant scuttlebutt out there that this core is about to be picked apart a little bit. And we'll give you the big name that's out there right now and discuss it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.